Well, this morning we're going to jump in again in our series on looking, in our series within a series, looking at maturity. And again, we're asking the question, what does maturity look like? There are many passages in Scripture that speak to God's desire to grow us up, to bring us to places of maturity. And yet we ask the question, what does that look like? Now, when I was growing up in church, and really until the last several years, my understanding of maturity was basically centered around biblical knowledge. That the more information you had, the more mature you were. The problem with that is that I know a lot of people with a lot of information that are still very immature. Okay? And that applies to myself in many ways. So it's not just about the information. It's not just about even the biblical knowledge. It's about how does it look played out in life? And what are the tasks we need to learn? What are the things we need provided for us and the tasks we need to learn in order to grow in our maturity? And The Life Model, a book by Dr. Jim Wilder and others, some other counselors, does a great job of presenting to us kind of a skeleton picture of these maturity stages. And so I've taken a bunch of teachings from Dr. Jim Wilder, from The Life Model, from some audio teachings that he has, and I'm pulling a bunch of these things together in a form that I hope and I truly believe is being helpful to us to get a picture of, okay, where are my holes and what do I need to work on? Well, last week we finished up the adult level tasks. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I just want to remind us that the adult level tasks are the following: to take care of two or more people at the same time, to discover the main characteristics of my heart, to be able to bring myself and others back to joy simultaneously, to develop a personal style that reflects my own heart, to learn to protect others from myself, to learn mutual satisfaction, to learn to diversify and blend roles, and to learn to express life-giving sexuality, and then to grow in partnership. And so we spent a lot of time over the last couple weeks looking at those specific tasks. And so where I want to pick up today is, okay, so what happens, excuse me, when we progress in life age-wise, but do not progress in our maturity of learning and accomplishing these tasks? Well, here are the results that the Life Model lists, and I'll just elaborate on these a little bit. The first result is that when our adult level needs are not met, and as a result, or even if they're met but we don't accomplish the tasks, then what we end up with is we ended up as self-centered, leaving other people dissatisfied and frustrated. Okay, we end up in our relationships with a lot of frustration because if you don't learn the adult level tasks of helping, you know, for example, the specific one here of learning mutual satisfaction, then someone is always going to be dissatisfied and frustrated. Okay? Another result is that you end up conforming to peer pressure and participating in negative and destructive group activities. Remember, one of the main goals of adult level maturity is to learn what it means to be like me amongst my people, learning to develop that group identity. And so when you don't learn this in good ways, we invariably learn it in bad ways. And so we end up participating in negative and destructive group activities. Also end up being a loner with tendencies to isolate, shows excessive self-importance. And just a side note there, 99 times out of 100, when someone shows excessive self-importance, it's really a smokescreen attempting to cover up the insecurity that lies beneath. It's really the result of not recognizing being delighted in and the recognizing who they really are as an image bearer. And so as a result, they have this inflated self-importance as a way of trying to cover up from themselves and in from others the areas of their shortcomings. Okay, another result is that the person ends up being controlling, harmful, blaming, and unprotective to others. Okay? Another result is that a person does not become a life-giving contributor to the community, is self-absorbed and uses others and drains society. They are driven to play roles, prove self to the world, and get results and seek approval. Okay, now this list, like all the lists of failed maturity tasks, are not pretty. And so it just reminds us once again of how important it is to allow God to lead us through this process so that we don't continue living out these sort of issues. All right? Well, that's the adult level stages, all right? Now, just to backtrack a minute, we want to just remember kind of the basic principles, and that is that the infant's primary responsibility is to receive, to learn and live through joy. All right? For the child, the primary thing is to develop an individual identity. And for the adult, it's to develop a group identity. And now as we move into the parent level maturity, we need to understand that the parent's primary position is to give sacrificially to children. And on one level, that makes perfect sense to us because we just think about what it's like to be parents. But on another level, it goes much deeper than that. And so what I want to do this morning is look at the needs and tasks of the parent level of maturity. And the first thing we need to recognize is the parent level needs and tasks begin with the birth of our first child. Okay? But it's important to note, and for those of you who don't have children here, don't buy into the condemnation of the enemy that says that you're a second-class citizen because you don't have your children or anything like that. Or buy into the, okay, I can tune Daryl out because this obviously doesn't apply to me because I don't have children. But to instead recognize that being a parent is not just for those who have their own biological children. Okay? Part of being a parent is being a parent spiritually. And that many times God will use individuals, even will use single individuals, to help make up for some of the holes in parents for their children. Okay? And so in a spiritual community, especially in the church, one of God's designs is for those who do not have children to come alongside those who do, and to be support, encouragement, and to help fill some of those holes. All right? Now, what I want you to see in this is that this idea of spiritual family, one that we'll talk, well, I'm not sure how much we'll get into this in future weeks, but there's a whole concept presented in the life model that was a very foreign concept to me until I read the book for the first time about 7 years ago. And that is this concept of spiritual adoption. That God brings people into our lives who become spiritual mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, children for us. Okay? And if you think about it, we read about this in Scripture. Now, many times it's in those passages we kind of just gloss over and read right through. Excuse me. But we read about this specifically in Paul's life. In 1 Corinthians 4:17, it says this. Paul says this. He says, "For this reason I am sending you to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord." 1 Timothy 1:2, as Paul writes this letter to Timothy, he begins it by saying, "To Timothy, my true son in the faith." 2 Timothy 1:2, he does the exact same thing. He says, "To Timothy, my dear son." Titus 1:4, he says, "To Titus, my true son in our common faith." And in Philippians 1:10, Paul says this. He says, "I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains." Now, it's real tempting to gloss over these and say, yeah, well, we kind of reference people as sons all the time. You know, anyone who's a mentor can kind of reference someone as a son. And to a certain extent, that's true. And in fact, many times God uses those kind of mentoring relationships in these forms and to fill these roles that were often vacated by our physical parents. However, I believe in Paul's life, and I believe a desire for our lives as well, is that these are not just fantasy relationships. They were real in Paul's life. They were life-giving. They were part of Paul's role in the church. I mean, think about the time that Paul spent with Timothy, Titus, Onesimus. Think about the lasting impact that had on them and then others who Timothy, Titus, and Onesimus later influenced. You see, spiritual family is an incredible blessing. And one thing you need to understand, it is a blessing on both sides of the coin. It's a blessing, obviously, we can see how if you're in a spiritual adoption relationship or if you have someone who is stepping into a role as a spiritual father or mother for you, it's easy to see what a blessing that is when you're in the child role. But guess what? It's a blessing to be in the parental role as well. Certainly it has its challenges, certainly it has its struggles, but there is a blessing in part because some of the things that we'll talk about this morning. People who are in parent-level maturity have a need to care for others downstream from them. Okay? But one real critical thing here is it's not the need that is so odd that we so often see in many circles, and especially church circles, that's a real codependent need of I need to be needed, I need to be important, I need to be recognized. I'm not talking about that kind of need at all. I'm talking about a very legitimate God-given need that we have been given and a burden on our heart to care for someone who is downstream from us. And whether you are married or not, whether you have children or not, is not the deciding factor whether you reach parent-level maturity. So when you hear me talk about these things that I'll talk about in the realm of parents and children, please understand that they are merely illustrative of what we're trying to grow into. And they apply to you whether you have children or not, whether you have biological children or not. Okay, it's also important to note that not only was Paul a spiritual father, but he was also a spiritual son. Okay, Romans 16:13, Paul says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." Okay, Paul speaks of Rufus's mother as being someone who has mothered him. Now, what did that look like specifically? I don't know. I have some ideas. I have some ideas from my own life and how a couple women, have spoken things into my life and have filled some of the holes that my mother completely missed. And we all need those relationships. Okay? Well, the first need of a parent-level maturity is the need to give life without requiring anything back. All right? The first need is that we all need to be able to give to someone in ways that have no strings attached. All right? And I had a mess up on my slide, so I just got ahead of myself. Going back to the whole idea of spiritual mothers, Jim Wilder has a quote he says very well. He says, "If Paul the Apostle needed a spiritual mother, what are the chances that you and I don't?" All right? Even Paul had a godly woman or two in his life who filled some of those roles. And one of the things that we often see in failed spiritual maturity is that those trying to lead a community often had and have no spiritual parenting. No one is nurturing them, looking after them, making sure they are thriving and doing well. They are, in essence, just thrown out to the wolves. You know, it's real scary to me how often in church planting situations, you have these young people who have these great ideas and they are having great impact and they're connecting with many, many people, and it's a huge blessing. But how many of those young people are out there doing that with no one behind them? No one supporting them, no one caring for their needs and nurturing them. And how many times do we hear of burnout? How many times do we hear of these individuals going and going and going, and then all of a sudden they get caught in some big moral failure? Well, question, were they evil people to begin with? No. Most of them were people who had a real heart's desire to share the good news of Jesus Christ, who wanted to reach out to the lost. But they had no safety net. They had no spiritual mothers and fathers looking over them, making sure their needs were met. And so they end up spending all their time and all their energy ministering to others, and it's all going out and nothing's coming back in. They become isolated from those who would nurture their lives and see them behind the things they do. See them for who they are, not for what they do. Okay? We start the spiritual family, however, by asking the question, who are you to me? As we look around in our relationships, we ask God to show us, who are these people in my lives, in my life? And so the first need I want us to look at is that we each have the need, and this is one of the needs that we really come face to face with at parent level maturity, is we have the need to give life without seeking anything coming back. We all have this need to give to others. We have a desire to grow into people who can give to others without seeking anything in return. However, guess what? We must grow into parent-level maturity before we can truly achieve that noble desire. Our children, both biological and spiritual, provide this opportunity in countless ways. As parents, we give and give, and it's only as they grow up, and even then, only occasionally, do they give back. Oh, there's great blessings and joy in watching them smile, seeing them delight in our gifts and our sacrifices. But in order for our gifts to be truly open-handed, without expectation, we have to step into this parent-level maturity. Because guess what invariably happens if we are not at a parent-level maturity and we sacrifice and we sacrifice and we sacrifice and we don't get the appreciation for it that we think it deserves? Then we start building the resentments. Then we start giving but looking for the response, looking for it to come back in a certain way. Well, one of the needs that we have in parent-level maturity is to give without seeking anything back. And it's an incredible struggle getting there. The second need we have in parent-level maturity is an encouraging partner. In order to fully step into our role as parents, remember the last need of adult-level maturity was partnership. And one of the reasons, so it plays right into this, that one of our needs then in parent-level maturity is a partner. Most of the time a spouse, though not always, but a partner who will journey with us. We need someone who will challenge our selfishness and at the same time call out the glory of who we truly are as image bearers. Dan Allender has a very powerful book on marriage called Intimate Allies. And one of his primary points there about marriage is that marriage is the marriage relationship is one place where we can see both the glory and the depravity of another person more clearly than anywhere else. And that our role and our job in the marriage is to call out their glory while at the same time honestly facing the depravity. Well, guess what, folks? In most marriages, where does the weight of the balance end up falling? In most marriages, the weight of the balance ends up falling on the criticalness of seeing every mistake that's made and being hyper-focused on the mistakes. Well, one of the needs we have in parent to really step into parent-level maturity is a partner who will see both the good and the bad, and who will call out our glory and help us express the need I just mentioned of giving without strings attached. Do you see the interconnection there? A third need we have in parent-level maturity is guidance from elders. We need guidance from those who have traveled the road before us. Now, here's where the real struggle, one of the real struggles comes in. Because to be perfectly honest, true elders, and by true elders, I mean not the ones who wear the name tags that say elder so-and-so on them, but those who have truly progressed to maturity, to the maturity of elder, are so rare that this need often goes unmet. We'll talk about this a little bit next week. In fact, I'll tell you right up front that I'm kind of cringing at what it means to describe elder-level maturity. Jim Wilder, in one of his teachings, talks about that you can really only fully understand, you can only get a glimpse of two levels of maturity above you. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, I think I'm kind of between adult and parent-level maturity, and that's where I'm progressing at this point. So I should be able to somewhat grasp and understand it, but to express it and explain it are very different things. But what I want you to understand here is that while we need guidance from elders, that may or may not always come from those who are at full elder-level maturity. That many times God uses individuals, He uses people who, in essence, have aspects of their maturity at these stages beyond us. You know, they may not have the full elder maturity in all areas of their life, but maybe they've learned an incredible amount about parenting their children. And maybe they've learned through their own struggles and failures and triumphs, and that God has especially gifted them in that area, and that you can get guidance from them as you parent your own children and as you mentor your spiritual children who are with you. Okay? Honestly, that's this need for someone who's gone before us is real honestly the primary reason I end up emailing Jim Wilder most of the time. Most of the emails that I have with him start because I am working with someone, I am trying to care for someone, and I run up against something I don't know what to do with. And so I end up reaching out to someone who is ahead of me in the stream of life. And we all need those connections. A fourth need that we each have in parent-level maturity is peer review from other fathers and mothers. What I mean by that is that we need to share this journey with other parents. And just a side note here, I think women, as a general rule, are much better at sharing this journey than men. If you look around, you see all sorts of evidence of this. You see MOPS groups that just kind of form. You know, you see moms at McDonald's Playland who are sitting together and they're talking about their kids and they're talking about parenting and they're trying to figure it all out. Well, guess what? That's an invaluable need in the process. Dads, we're kind of run from this a lot. You get a group of dads together, and what do they talk about? Sports, work, hunting, you know, those kind of things. And, oh yeah, isn't your child the same age as mine? that may or may not come out. But we all need mothers and fathers. We need the company of other parents to share the journey, to share what we're learning, to share the struggles. You see, parenting is a whole new frontier for all of us, and we need to talk about those issues together. Not in the sense, you know, the elder role is the role that someone can help guide you through it, but the fellow peers is the role that as we share these things, then we can learn from one another's mistakes. We can learn from what works for one another. And we can learn more than anything else that we're just not alone in this, like the enemy wants us to believe. And then the last need of the parent-level maturity is that of a secure and orderly environment. In order to parent well, we need to know that we are secure in our primary relationships. Question, for those of you who are parents, what percentage basis of your parenting skill and ability changes when you are insecure in your relationship with your spouse? When you're not really sure that they're glad to be with you, you're not really sure that you're going to make it, those sort of questions. Those things greatly diminish our capacity that gives us the ability to relate well to our children. That's why, you know, one of the things I can remember from college, and I don't even remember what source this was from, but I remember in some parenting counseling material, one of the things that this person said was that the most important thing you can do to parent your children well is work on your relationship with your spouse. That as you are one together with your spouse, then you will have a much greater strength and a much greater basis from which to reach out to your children. And we see that all the time. We see it all the time in the sense of when the relationship between husband and wife is strained, then the parenting things do not work as well. Now that's a real challenge. Because there's many times, and I know there's many of you, you know, even in this room, who are in broken relationships with your spouse. And it makes it really hard. And it's one of those places where it's just important for you to be honest about how hard it makes it and asking for the Father's help to raise your capacity in spite of this struggle. To be honest about the need not being met, and to ask Him to intervene and overcome that shortfall in your need. Because you see, if when we're in these places, the unfortunate collateral damage is so often our children. Because when we're in these painful places, we so often either look to them to meet our needs that they were never intended to meet, or else we take our hurt and our anger has nothing to do with them, and it comes out sideways all over them. And most of us, I would say pretty well all of us, have experienced this in our own growing up. We've all experienced this in ways that were harmful to us. In fact, as I talk about some of these, you know, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm nowhere near parent level maturity yet. Well, one thing that can be helpful for you, even as you listen to these things, is to recognize the things that were missing for you. Because many of you were that parentified child. You were brought into places of decision-making or intimacy, or you were the one that you were the family scapegoat who was blown up on all the time. Many of these different things. And as you recognize God's design for how it should be, then it can give you very specific places to go back to the Father for healing work because of what was missed in your life. We need a secure and orderly environment. Now, the tasks of parent-level maturity come right along the line of the needs. All right? And again, these start with the first child. And when you try to do them too early, then you end up creating duty and obligation rather than joy. And the first task of adult-level maturity is that of building a home. Now, obviously, I'm not talking here about a physical house. In fact, I know of many men who've built their own houses, often at the cost of building a home. What I'm talking about here is building a home where children can be nurtured, delighted in, and led on their own journey of faith. That is one of the primary tasks of a parent, is to building a safe place, a safe community for the immediate family within. But then the second task is learning to protect his or her family. In fact, I believe one of the core responsibilities of a parent is protecting their children. And I mean protection in many different areas. Yes, first of all, physical protection. Okay, have you ever noticed how innate this need to protect my child is for moms especially? Have you ever seen a first-time mom with that look of terror in her eyes when somebody says, "Oh, can I hold your baby?" You know, they don't say it, but you kind of wonder sometimes if they're thinking in the back of their head, "Huh, what are your credentials for holding my baby? Have you successfully held babies before? Do you have a license? Have you been properly trained?" You know, all those things are going through because it's just an innate mother's a sense of who mom is to protect. There's also relational protection. Good parents are careful about the relationships their children develop. They keep a watchful eye on adults who seem to show too much interest. They know who their children's friends are, what their families are like, etc., because they want to protect and make sure that the relationships their children are in are good relationships that will bring life and not death to them. They're also very interested in sexual protection. You see, I believe a task of good parenting is recognizing the need to shield our children from the sexual barrage of our world and culture. You know, it amazes me, when I think back to my own story growing up, when I would watch children and my children's friends talk about movies they've seen, music they listen to. Excuse me. When I see them talk about movies they've seen, TV shows they watch, music they listen to, our world has a completely distorted view of sexuality. And we spend a lot of time here in our recovery ministry dealing with the effects of that. Well, guess what? One of the primary places where this begins for most people. Most people's struggle with their sexuality has a huge beginning in the fact that they were not protected from the distortions of our world's view of sexuality by their parents. They weren't taught God's view of our sexuality. So in that vacuum, they learned it from pornography, from TV, from movies, from music. And folks, let me just challenge you in this. Just turn on secular radio or just go to online and pull up the lyrics of top 20 songs. Watch TV shows from the perspective of a small child and ask yourself, what is this teaching my child about sexuality? And it is a terrifying thing. You see, it amazes me when I see these children, like my children's friends, talking about all these things, and when I see them with unprotected internet access on their computers, their cell phones, their game consoles, and their iPods. You know, I know there is a place where we can be overprotective as parents. I don't believe this realm of our children's sexuality is one of those areas. And it's a huge battle. You know, trust me, Debbie and I wrestle with this, and you know, our daughter is, you know, she's very computer savvy. She's very interested in reading stuff and et cetera, et cetera. And so it's that question. Okay, so where do we stifle her by having too many boundaries and too much protection? And where do we not allow her to learn how to make good decisions on her own and those sort of things? And it's a huge struggle. But it's one as parents that God calls us to engage. Because that's I think that's the real thing for most parents in this realm, is they don't know what to do with it, so what's our tendency when we don't know what to do with it? Well, I can tell you what mine is. When I don't know what to do with something, my primary tendency is just to avoid it and hope it doesn't get to be a bigger problem. Well, this is one arena that God's call on our life as parents is to step in and protect, to learn, to educate ourselves at times, and to learn what, and to ask the Father, Father, what does my child need in this realm of protection? A third need that we all have as parents is serving his or her family. It's easy to see how servanthood and parenthood go hand in hand. Well, or at least how they should go hand in hand. Parenting by its very nature requires sacrifice. You know, when your child is born, guess what changes? Well, I don't know, tell me what didn't change, might be a better question. All right? Your schedule changes. Your free time takes drastic cuts. Your finances take a huge hit. Well, guess what? That's part of the task of being a parent, is learning how to give sacrificially. In Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." It's another reason why becoming a biological parent prior to becoming a spiritually mature parent is a recipe for disaster. Remember several weeks ago when we were beginning this process, we talked about what happens when you learn a task before you are developmentally ready. The result is that you do the task what? Out of duty and obligation rather than joy. You see, when you're at true parent level maturity, the sacrifices you make for your children, whether they be spiritual children, or whether they be your own biological children, you do those sacrifices with joy in your heart for them. But if you become a parent and you try to accomplish these tasks prior to reaching that stage, what happens is you may still give sacrificially, you may still be a servant to your children, but guess what you do? You resent it. You do it out of duty and obligation. Question, how many of us have experienced that on the other side of the coin? Where you've had a parent do something for you, but the guilt trip is hardly worth the gift. That's a result of not being at parent-level maturity. And that plays right also into the next task, and that is enjoying his or her family. Okay? Again, if you try to do these things too early, then you end up doing them out of responsibility and duty. And what that does is that kills your ability to enjoy making the sacrifices, enjoying being with them. That's why so many people talk about feeling like they were a burden to their parents. Their parents did what they were supposed to do. They attended their ball games, recitals, etc. But they rarely enjoyed and just poured out their delight on their children. But enjoying our family is a task we learn as we move forward in our maturity. And it is a critical task to help our children know what treasures they truly are. In our task-oriented, get-it-done world, it's so hard to keep perspective on this reality that one of the most important things we can do for our children is to enjoy them. In his book, Living with Men, there's a passage there that I love to quote to new moms. And here's what he says. He says, mothers who get nothing done around the house and only play with their baby should know that they are building their baby's brain and strength for life. Okay, moms, do you realize that the most important job you have with your children is to enjoy them, to delight in them? Dads, do you realize that the most important thing that we can do for our children is not discipline them so they get their act together, but enjoy them, take delight in them? Yes, discipline is important, and yes, discipline is part of the journey, but it must be balanced by enjoying one another. In other words, the best parents may get little done in other arenas because of the time required to really enjoy our children. The next task of parenthood is maturing our children. Okay? Anyone at infant, child, and even adult level maturity has all they can handle focusing on their own maturity. However, when we are parents, one of our tasks, one of our primary responsibilities for our children is helping them progress in their own maturity. It's not enough just to provide a roof over their heads or food to eat. Our job is to help them move through these stages, from infant to child to adult level maturity before they leave our homes. And it is hard work. And it's work that requires us to be on our own journey in these ways. It's work that requires us to be honest about the many ways that we aren't doing it well, haven't done it well. Okay? And then the last task is synchronizing. And that is synchronizing with the developing needs of children, spouse, family, work, and church. One of the critical things we must learn with our children is the sacrificial task of synchronizing to them rather than requiring them to synchronize to us. I know when our first child was born, we had a number of voices telling us different things about how to be parents. And one of the voices we heard very loud and very often from different sources was, get that child on a schedule so that they don't just destroy your whole life. And you need to understand, while there is a time for helping them learn to synchronize with others, infancy is not that time. An infant needs us to meet him or her right where they are at. An infant needs to feed when she is hungry, to change when dirty, to sleep when tired, and to play when feeling playful. And guess what, parents? That requires huge sacrifices. It requires sleep deprivation. You know, have you ever met a new parent who wasn't sleep deprived? Well, if you have, maybe they're deaf, or maybe there's other things going on. But the infant needs us to meet them where they're at. Yes, there's a process of helping them learn to get their days and nights switched back around. Yes, there's process, you know, there is times to get them on a feeding schedule and those sort of things. But we need to remember that as parents, it's our job to meet them where they're at, not to force them to meet with us, to come where we're at. And we, as parents, our task is to join our children, physical or spiritual, where they are at, rather than waiting and expecting them to come to where we are at. Yes, thankfully there does come a time when we can tell them, no, now is not the time for a snack because we're going to eat dinner in a few minutes. However, the reason we tell them that at that stage is not because of the inconvenience it causes to us, but because we are now developing them, because we know that they are developing into that place of learning to tame their nucleus accumbens. It needs to be about what their needs are, not what my needs are. Do you see the inherent difference there? In parent-level maturity, we need to synchronize with our children, our spouse, others in our family, our work, and our church. We don't require everyone to fit into our schedule, our moods, our timing, but we instead learn how to meet others where they are at. It doesn't mean that we can't ask for them to join us, but it means that we recognize that we are the parents and synchronization is first and foremost our responsibility. And yes, there will always be more people and more demands from others to synchronize to us than we will be able to meet. However, prioritizing is also a crucial role of parents. We must prioritize the needs of our children, of the people that God has placed under our care, over the needs of others. And I have to tell you right up front, that has been one of my most difficult challenges. I almost always leave my office each day knowing there is someone hurting who needs a phone call from me. I get at least one or two phone calls almost every week from people who, quote, desperately need a counseling appointment with me but can't come during the daytime. And it pains me to tell them I don't have any evening or weekend times available. Yet the Father continues to remind me that my first priority must be to my own wife and my own children. And it's a huge struggle. But it's part of what it means to move into this level of maturity. We prioritize and we synchronize with those first and foremost that God has put under our care. Well, just real quickly, because I'm going to get through this so we can get to elder level maturity next week. But the results of unmet parent needs and unaccomplished tasks are once again kind of scary. But the first result is that family members are at risk, are deprived, and feel worthless or unimportant. Many of you know this firsthand because that's been your experience. A second result is that children have to take care of parents, which, by the way, is impossible and leaves the child to abuse, neglect, or becoming the parentified children, which actually blocks their maturity. A third task result is that children have become vulnerable to peer pressure, to cults, to any misfortune, and are less likely to succeed in their life's goals. Parents get overwhelmed without extended family support when we don't meet these places. And then next, we end up hopeless, depressed, and disintegrating family units develop. That's what happens when we are parents without being parents. You know, it's that classic thing that anyone, you know, any man can become, you know, can father a child. But very few are fathers. And yet God's calling us to grow into these places. And I know, especially as we're hitting these levels, we hit more and more things that we know we don't measure up in. And so we come back to this question once again, what do I do with my holes? Well, first and foremost is you ask the Father to provide the relationships I need to be able to learn the tasks. It may be that things have been sparked in you from hearing this morning that you realize, man, I so desperately need a spiritual mom. I so desperately need a spiritual father. Well, pray for it. Ask the Father to provide that for you. But then hand in hand with that is, ask the Father to show you the relationships He's already provided. You may already have a spiritual father waiting for you. and already pouring life into you, and you just haven't recognized it yet because it doesn't look like you thought it would look like. Ask the Father to open the eyes. But then third, ask the Father to show you the opportunities He's providing you to learn the tasks. There are opportunities in front of us every moment of every day to specifically learn some of the tasks that we have missed. Ask the Father to show you. Then take proactive steps to try it, to do it. You say, well, if I do, I'm going to fail miserably. Well, that's okay, because that's the last thing I want to leave you with, is learn from your failures. Guess what? Your Heavenly Father is what a father should be. And guess what He does when He sees His children try something and fail miserably? He smiles. Not because He's glad they failed, but because He's glad that they stepped out and tried. Your Heavenly Father will never be angry with you for trying and failing. Jesus said on the cross, it's finished, it's paid in full. That applies to our sins, that applies to our mistakes, that applies to every failure. It's paid in full. So whenever we step out and try these new things, God smiles, and He's delighted in us. And if we can begin to grab hold of that, then I promise we will make huge strides in our maturity because we will be so much less afraid to try. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning and we just thank You for the people You have and are providing in our lives. For the spiritual mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and even children that You bring to us. And I pray, Lord, that You would especially be with those today who are struggling because they see themselves not measuring up, not having accomplished these things. And Lord, I just pray that You just remind them that that's why Jesus came, you know, that's part of why Jesus came, because we don't measure up and because we have fallen short. But that our falling short is not a problem for You. And in the realm of maturity, Lord, our lack of maturity doesn't change our value. It doesn't change Your delight in us. But it does provide us opportunities to work and to grow. And so, Lord, I pray that we will be able to step into those places and that we will experience more of what You have designed for us as we allow You to show us what You're doing in these areas of maturity. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, my prayer for you as we leave today is that you would just take another step, however small it may be, in growing your maturity in Christ Jesus. And with that, we are dismissed.